What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 362, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. We need to see about getting a mattress company to sponsor us, like a Purple or a Sattva or something, because I slept terribly last night and ended up with like this kink in my back or something.
What
and
kind
I
of mattress do you turn, have?
I don't know, something from like a Slumberland or something. And I can't like turn my head like all the way to the sides without it killing my back. And like getting in the car is terrible today.
Maybe so. You're just getting old.
That could be it. That could be it.
Maybe that's the problem. It was
4 hours at the water park on Sunday that did it too.
That might have been it. That definitely might have been it. You know, no, if you sleep wrong sometimes, like there was one time I slept wrong, like on my shoulder, and it was messed up for like a week.
Oh yeah.
So I definitely know your pain, but we have to know since, you know, it's another Wednesday. Did you end up buying Oreos?
No, you were asking about it, and I thought about it tonight. I was like, oh, I got to get those. No, I meant to buy them on the way home from work and just didn't even think about it. So,
no,
I got alternatives. I got the Sour Patch Kids. I've got some candy from IKEA down here. So
you still have the IKEA candy. It's gone on like three weeks with that.
Oh, more than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Man. All right. Well, guys, of course, this is a tech podcast. You know, it would be cool to get a sponsorship for a mattress, although I really do like my mattress. So have you tried one of those Purple mattresses?
No, I haven't. You just always hear like that Purple or the.
Yeah, I have a Purple pillow, which I really like. But the Purple mattress, I have a couple friends that got them, and it's so heavy. It's like
heavy as shit.
Yeah, like so if you move a lot, it's not like that would just not be fun. It's not like a normal mattress. So but anyways, guys, we do have our full show notes page that's going to show you everything that we're going to be talking about this week, of course, in the tech sphere, all of our reviews, everything. And this is linked in the description of the video so you guys can check it out and follow along with us, which is pretty cool. If you wanted to go ahead and do that, you definitely can. And we'll start off with reviews this week. And I took a look at a case that's right. You can see it. It's right there. I took a look at the Thermaltank Tower 500, which sits in between the incredibly massive Tower 900 from Thermaltank and their very small Tower 100, which I reviewed last year. So this, it's still pretty big. I mean, it's right, like that's a big case.
It looks pretty tall. Yeah, it looks as tall as any normal tower, if not maybe a little taller.
Yeah, it's big. It's one of the bigger cases that I've reviewed so far this year. And it's, like I said, it's a very, very big case. It can fit a lot of hardware inside too. So this is a case that's going to be able to support up to extended ATX motherboards, full-size graphics cards. I believe you can do 12 hard drives in here, which is pretty crazy. But it's that, I think you had said this before, Ryan, this is the fish tank case. Basically it's made to really show off your hardware. It has that sort of popcorn machine type look.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so three tempered glass panels that really show off this main compartment here. And it, like I said, it's a bigger case overall. Lots of room in here for hardware, for cooling. One thing that's nice about this is if you look at this, you're like, okay, where does the cooling go, right? There are cooling brackets up top. So you could do a 240 millimeter AIO up top. You can do a 240 in the bottom as well. But they also include rails. So you could do a floating 360 on one of the sides if you want. Like,
sweet.
So if you did want to do an AIO in here, you can go ahead and do that as well. Building in this thing is so easy. All the panels come off. Like this is made. This is sort of like a builder's case. Like everything is completely thought out and all of that. So the big difference with this is, of course, you have a vertical orientation for your motherboard and graphics card, which is different. than a lot of other cases, but that allows you to, of course, show off that hardware. But getting inside and building in this is super, super easy. They do include two fans, which are on the back, and they have little pass-through holes that would sit below your, you know, below your motherboard. There's hard drive cages back here and all of that. Like I said, 12 hard drives you can fit in this, which is just wild for a case these days. But like I said, building this, getting everything installed, because it's such a big case, it's super easy to work with. I didn't have really any issues getting anything inside, installing, you know, anything. There are hard drive placements on the power supply cover, so you can essentially display your SSDs or even hard drives if you wanted to. So again, all part of being able to display your components, which this case is really, really all about. Here you can see that's more vertical orientation for your motherboard and graphics card here. All of the cable routing is perfect as well. So there's cable routing, and you can see these little holes that kind of look like four little holes. Those are actually tie down points. So you can route all your cables up here, tie them all down. They include zip ties. Everything goes together quite well. Here you can see the back side of the case. I didn't tie anything down because I didn't necessarily think that I needed to, but if you wanted to, you can go ahead and do all of that.
Well, you've got a ton of space back there. You don't have to worry about like, a side panel going on and having to tie stuff down so that that panel goes on. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah. So there's a ton of room back here. So you can, like I said, this panel doesn't have a hard time getting on or anything like that. And like I said, tons of room. And again, if I wanted to, I could tie all these down, but I didn't really feel like a big need to. But here's the completed build, as you can see. Now, I will say that if you don't have RGB fans somewhere or a lot of RGB on your motherboard, you probably want to get an RGB strip just because, again, there's not a whole lot of light per se. That's kind of dark, I would say. So get some RGB strips. You can easily install those in here. Things are going to look a lot more lit up, I would say. But overall, like I said, a great case to build in. It's big. It's going to stand out on your desk, too. So that's the cool thing about this is if somebody walks in and sees this, they're going to be like, wow, this is a lot different than my normal case. And then all your connections are at the top, but they have a little pass-through. So you can route your cables down out, which is nice there as well. Now, again, there's only two fans that come with this case, and they're RPM fans. They are not PWM fans. And I would say if you don't install any fans on the bottom section of this, you're not going to have proper airflow really for your graphics card. And we kind of saw that in our performance. So if we look at our GPU temperatures, I mean, even during idle, it's the second highest. And during load, it is the actual highest. So there's no really proper airflow for that vertical graphics card. Now, again, you can install fans in the bottom, but you have to go out and buy them yourself. So that's something definitely to consider. That's the kind of really only issue that I saw with this case. Overall, like I said, it's $159.99, which for a case that supports extended ATX, and this is truly a full tower. I believe it has 9 expansion slots. So you can do a true, if you wanted to load it up with expansion cards, you can actually do all of that if you wanted to. It supports, like I said, 12 hard drives, which is quite a lot. So if you wanted to do this as a media server or something along those lines, you can definitely do that. So I think for the price, it's a good price. It's available in both white and black versions on here as well. So I think, like I said, I think for the price, it is good. I would say that you probably will need to invest at least in two fans for the bottom or top of the case just to get some better airflow moving in there. But if you're looking to show off your hardware, this is definitely a case that you can do it in. So like I said, go ahead and check out that full review on the website for sure. Nice. And then Ryan, you took a look at a very affordable microphone.
Yeah. Let me pop this up here. There we go. Yeah. So this is the Fifine. And I always I had to keep looking at the the full name, the Ampla game. I just could, yes. Ampla game is not like a word in my vocabulary. You, every now and then you get those products where you have to like look back at the product name when you're typing out the review, you know? Anyhow, Fifine, Ampla game, AM8 microphone. Fifine's a brand that I had worked with in my day-to-day job, outfitting some rooms with some microphones at one point, some classrooms. So I was familiar with the brand, but they're not like a, you know, they're not an Elgato, they're not a Shure, they're not a, you know, we've gotten used to HyperX now having microphones. They're just a brand that maybe some people may not be familiar with. So I thought it was good to take a look at this and kind of show off some of the cool features with this microphone. And it definitely has some pretty cool features. The main one being that it has dual input options or connectivity options, right? So it's got a USB Type-C connection, and they've included a Type-C cable, but it also has XLR connectivity. So, you know, higher end microphones typically have that XLR connectivity, and you can usually, you'll utilize those connected to a more advanced sound routing system or, you know, amplifier or mixer. And USB microphones are typically just, you know, they're your entry level, better than a webcam microphone. But the nice thing about this is it's got both. So it gives you multiple connectivity options, and you can actually use both of them at the same time. So if you wanted to route your audio to like your Discord on your main gaming PC, and then the XLR audio out to a mixing board to go somewhere else, you can do that just fine with this, which is cool. So I thought that was a pretty cool feature and gives this microphone some flexibility in its use case. It's a pretty standard looking microphone. I have it here in my hand, but yeah, it's just a plastic bodied microphone, and it's really pretty generic looking, to be honest. There's nothing flashy about it. It's just a plastic bodied microphone, like I said, but it's not a cheaply made or low quality mic. You know, I gave it the squeeze test, right? There's no creaking. It doesn't flex at all. It doesn't weigh very much, but it is a solid build. So that's good. You never want to have a product that's like super shaky or wobbly in your hands. It has a nice velvety pop filter on the top of the microphone to, you know, get those plosives out, and does a good job with that. And underneath that is the actual audio capsule. This is a dynamic pickup with a single polar pattern. So it's got that cardioid polar pattern, which is great for like single source recording, like a podcast, things like that. So in most use cases, you're going to want to have it kind of angled towards you to pick up the best sound for you. And I liked that they had it enclosed in metal, right? It's not just sitting underneath the foam cover up top. So it has some protection there, which is nice to see. So I thought that was a good feature. And it does have some touch activated features, which we've seen on like the HyperX microphones, the Wave 3 here from Elgato. So it has a touch sensitive section on the front or the back of the microphone, whichever you decide to use. And it has a little light there as well. So it's going to be green when the microphone's live and red when it's muted. So it's just that nice touch to tap mute function, which removes like old microphones would have like a physical button that would like click in, and every time you muted and unmuted, it'd actually pick up on the microphone. This doesn't have that. It's all just that software based light touch, and it mutes it. So that's a feature I've loved to see on microphones becoming more and more popular across microphones in general. But then there's another touch section on the other side of the microphone for the lighting. So this microphone has some RGB lighting here at the bottom, just a little ring that goes around the bottom of the base of the microphone. That's touch sensitive as well. So you can kind of cycle through those colors and turn it on and off if you give kind of like a long press for that, which is kind of cool. And then you've just got your standard gain knob here to adjust the microphone gain, as well as a volume knob for the inline live audio monitoring. So you can have your headphones plugged into the bottom of this thing to monitor your audio in real time and adjust that volume right there. Like I said, has XLR connectivity as well as USB Type-C. If you want to utilize the RGB lighting, you do have to have it hooked up to USB, even if you're not using that for your audio. So just keep that in mind. If you want the lighting but want the audio from XLR, you will have to have both of those plugged in. The USB Type-C is where you're getting that power for those lights. So just something to keep in mind there. And then we've got that 3.5 mil headphone jack for audio monitoring. Comes with a built-in stand. It's just a, you know, a lightweight metal U shape. with some adjustment knobs on the side so you can tilt it to the angle of your choice and tighten it up, and a nice metal base to keep it in place if you're not using it on like a microphone arm. Another cool thing about this is the threads on the base here. Just unthread this here. It easily threads onto another like microphone arm. So in the base, I don't have a picture of this in the review. You know, here, switch me over to, you got it. So we'll see if we can get this to, this is always the challenge.
You gotta get a good camera.
I gotta get a better camera.
Whatever. Yeah, but it has the same thread.
Multiple threads, so you can set it how you want it. What I do here. There we go. And let's swing around to the next page. Thanks for switching that. So setup is super easy. In Windows with USB, it's just going to show up as a Fifine microphone in Windows. It's just plug and play. There's nothing you have to do. There is no software that comes with this microphone. So any adjustments you're going to make to it are going to be either within Windows, or if you have, you know, some audio applications that you utilize on your system, you know, adjust Discord, adjust Audacity, or any other audio software that you utilize, you're going to make those changes there. If you're using it in XLR, you're obviously going to make adjustments in whatever audio interface you're plugging it into that way. So super easy setup. Nothing much to go there. Usage wise, it's fine. I wish it was had a little more low end pickup. The frequency range on this, I believe, was 50 hertz to 16,000 hertz. Most microphones that we see typically advertise 20 hertz to 20,000 hertz. That's just like a standard range. Not that like I'm going to speak as low as 20 hertz, right? Like that's really low. And I'm not going to make any noises that are even 16,000 hertz high, but I would have liked to see a fuller range for that itself. You know, like always, we've got some audio samples on the page. So I recorded audio with both the XLR and the USB connections on there. And you can tell the difference between the XLR and the USB audio. All I did was change inputs on the microphone, didn't make any other adjustments to software or placement or anything like that. And you can definitely tell the difference between the two recordings. So if you're interested, check that out just to kind of see the difference. The XLR, in my opinion, sounds much better than the USB. So just
as it should, exactly.
So, and then yeah, we've got samples from a bunch of other microphones that we've reviewed in the past. You can compare it to those. And then, like I mentioned earlier, it's got some RGB lighting. You can't control it outside of the preset lighting options built into the microphone itself. So you've got a couple. You've got like this rainbow wave picture. There's a color cycling, and then you can switch through like eight individual colors, just your standard RGB colors that you're going to get out of like some basic fans and other types of lighting products that don't have customization, right? No, there's no DRGB or ARGB options here. So it's just your standard lighting. But yeah, overall, pretty happy with this microphone for its price. There's some things that I didn't like about it. One of them is that when you have it mounted in the arm, you can't swivel it like through the body of the arm when you have cables plugged in, because they run into the bottom of the mount. So like you have to get it set exactly how you want it. And you have a little bit of adjustment there, but you can't swivel it through or make any adjustments. So that's kind of a pain to work through that. I don't know. I just found it a pain point because I was, and the reason it's a pain point is because you have controls on both sides, right? You have the mute on one side, and then you have your lighting and gain and volume on the other. So you're either reaching around the microphone to make adjustments to your mute, or you're reaching around to make adjustments to your gain and things like that. If everything was on one side, the not being able to pass through the arm wouldn't be that big of a deal. But since it is like that, I don't know, it's kind of just a pain point I found. But the price is crazy. Right now it's available for just under $47 on Amazon, which for a entry level microphone, that's going to perform much better than a built-in webcam, I think this is a great deal. But
especially one that's dual
connectivity. Yeah, exactly. Dual
connectivity, yeah.
But you know, at the same time, it's basic lighting. You can't make any other adjustments. the swivel piece really bugged me when I was actually using it and putting it on this microphone arm and doing my testing. I was like, just, it was a pain point that didn't need to be there, I thought. And then just kind of a generic build on this. And it doesn't have that brand recognition and history that a lot of people can like say, oh, I've had experience with a Corsair keyboard or a Corsair mouse, and they make good products, right?
And I think another thing is there's no software. Like, I think when you buy, like, what you're using an Elgato mic now, like, when you buy that mic, you get a whole software suite that not only enhances the microphone, but then enhances, like, if you're doing a stream or if you're, you know, gaming, like, you can, it makes that experience better and easier for you. So that's something that this mic doesn't offer.
Right. Yeah. But again, if you're looking for that entry level microphone that can grow with you, right? Start off USB. And then if you want to move over to XLR and some of the additional options for, you know, mixing and things like that, you can get out of XLR and better audio quality from this microphone. It's there to grow with you, which I think is great. Yeah. So definitely check it out if you're looking for a, you know, entry level microphone.
Nice. Well, I made a video for the $30 air cooler that we took a look at last week. So this is the Jonsbo Pisa A5. The video is on our YouTube. And last time I checked, I'll check the Amazon link now.
Let's go down in price.
Yeah, it went down to $26. I don't know why it's not loading on my screen, but yeah, it went down to $26 over the weekend, which is the lowest I've seen it. But this is the air cooler that we reviewed last week. I just made a video on it, so if you guys are interested, definitely go ahead and check that out. I still don't know why Amazon's not loading for some reason. That's so weird. There we go.
It's kind of weird.
Let's see what the price is. Oh, it's not showing up now. Maybe it's not available. It's
still not
going. Oh, it's $25.99 right now, which is crazy. Yeah, which is crazy. So check out the video. Like I said, it is linked in our show notes if you want to learn more about the cooler. But it's a good air cooler for $25. That's like one of the cheapest air coolers that you can get right now. And it has RGB lighting. So check out the video.
Very sweet.
If you are interested in that. Also, we're going to move on to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a really cool build from Apezilla. This is their Corsair 5000D build. Ryan, I wanted you, like, your thoughts on the color.
I do like the color.
Yeah.
Just that.
I do.
Not quite turquoise, just like a nice, yeah, bluish green, greenish blue. I don't know. I do like this, yeah. Yeah. And it's another build that we've featured a couple of these lately where it's like, this is something I think, you know, is within my skill set of building, right? It's got some complex builds like the GPU to CPU bend, right? Mm-hmm. It has like one, two, three bends along the same plane and then another one going back into the CPU. So you've got some complex builds there and you want to make sure that you're cable length or not cable length but tubing lengths between all of those bends makes sense so that you get pieces that line up correctly. I think this is really cool.
I really, like you said, it's not all that complex. Like the case itself really isn't modded, you know what I mean.
This is a build that I feel like, you know, anybody could tackle with like sitting down and putting time into it.
I just like the simplicity.
Yep. I wish their fans would have been the same blue color, like sync that up a little bit in some of the pictures, or white, like they've done white on the Dominator RAM, or maybe that is blue. I think
it's blue. It's just the way the photo was taken.
I think
making this just all the same blue would have been
cool. Either way though, it's a nice looking build.
Yeah, it's a nice overall looking build. And like I said, nothing super, super crazy. I think if I learned to do the tubing, the hard tubing, I think I could put this together because it's, again, these are all normal mounting points for.
And what makes it to me feel like this is something I could do is like on that right, the tube that you're right by on your mouse, there's a black line across it and then one straight up on the, there's a 90 degree bend going into the radiator. There's black lines, and those are marks from where you want to have the center of your bend or start your bend. Like I do that with a Sharpie, not a Sharper, but a dry erase marker. Yeah. Right. So that I can like know where I want that bend to be when I take it off the heat gun and put it into the jig to bend it. I know where that bend should be. So it's just like, this is an everyday man here. And they've shown their work and what it takes to do that. So I thought that was pretty cool there.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah. Like I said, I like this. I think that, like I said, it's not overly complex. It's just clean. And I think that's kind of at the end of the day, what you want is just a very, very clean build. Barrow water cooling in this too, which is really cool. Right. Almost all Barrow parts on here for the most part. So that's really cool to see there as well. So go ahead and check that out. And like I always say, that we do have a full section of Case Mod Friday builds. If you want to go ahead and check that out, you can definitely do that. And we want to remind you about our contest that's going on. We're giving away I keep on doing this. I keep on opening it in the wrong tab because I'm only sharing my tab.
Just FYI, I did clear that message out of the Twitch chat. So
we're giving away two Kingston Data Traveler Max USB 3.2 Gen 2 flash drives, 1 terabyte each. I know Ryan really wants one because they're 1 terabyte and he's always lugging around stuff. But these are super fast too. Like I said, USB 3.2 Gen 2, 1,000 megabytes a second, which means you can onload and offload data extremely quickly. Yeah. Super easy to enter. We do it all through Gleam. Bunch of different ways to enter. The link is in our show notes, so get your entry in. 7 days left on this one, and we probably will have another contest coming up after this one as well. So definitely stay tuned for that. Moving on to news this week. The first thing is about the RTX 4060 Ti. So this is supposedly going to be the next graphics card that's coming out from NVIDIA. And the first thing is that it's going to be launched later this month, which is pretty exciting. It seems like the summer is, like we talked about this expected launch dates. We'd get a 4060 a 4060 Ti, a 4060, and then a 4050 all in the span of like 2 months.
Going to catch some flack for this being an 8 gig card, you know?
Yeah, so then our next story is we've heard rumors that it was 8 gig. Nothing like incredibly concrete just yet, but just today, there was a new leak from a Russian retailer that put out their catalog listings, like their online listings of graphics cards. These ones are from Palette, and it looks like they all have 8 gigabytes of GDDR6.
AMD's just going to stick it to them again, right? Like, just another opportunity for them to tout that their cards have more RAM, and it stinks.
Yeah, and the thing is that with this listing, too, is there's two versions. There's like a dual and a dual OC and a StormX and a StormX OC. It appears that they're going to do the same thing that they did with the 4070 launch, which was like they'll launch MSRP cards first. These are going to be the non-overclock cards. And then the overclock cards of the OC versions will launch like a day later. And they'll be a little bit more expensive. But at least it's good to see that NVIDIA is being like, okay, to all the manufacturers, you know, you need to have this MSRP card, right? And you need to have it available at launch. So that's a good thing. But like I said, like you said, 8 gigabytes of VRAM for a card that is expected to be $450.
Like my RX 580 has 8 gigs in it. And that's like multiple generations old.
I don't like it. Yeah, like, what do you think the price of this card should be?
I don't. Well, that if I say that, then that means everything else has to shift down with it, right? But I mean, I don't know. it's a 60 level card. Like, so I don't even want to say 400. I want to say like 350, you know?
Yeah. It will be, it'll be interesting.
450.
450. But again, that's still a $150 difference.
Yeah.
Compared to the 4070 right now. And again, it's at the TI. It's not the 40. Bro, we've had that conversation for like the past month, every week on the podcast about the naming. So we're not going to go into the whole naming thing, but yeah. So those are, like I said, that's what's kind of expected later this month, which should be, like I said, I do like that we're getting the mid-range card, because as much as we love the super high end, you know, 4090, 7950 XTs and all this stuff, most people are looking at that mid-range for that mid-range card, right? A lot of them are still gaming at 1080, maybe 1440, and they just want a card that's going to get the job done. That's relatively affordable, although again, 450 for a card that has 8 gigabytes of VRAM is decently expensive, I would say. Now, talking about prices and what you may be able to get, Acer puts their Arc A770 Predator card back on sale. It's $339. So there's your $350 price. And this has 16 gigs of VRAM.
Yeah, just buy this thing. Maybe not, but... I don't know what NVIDIA's thinking with this.
Yeah,
this whole launch has been just bungled from the start.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So... yeah, so this is $339.
And this performance level is like compared to what, 30 series? Yeah, wasn't it like a
3060
maybe? 37?
Yeah, but this is going to be interesting. As this ARC price goes down and we see, we'll talk about AMD's upcoming card as well with these lower, not lower end, but like more mid-range cards in this. Mm-hmm. $300 to $500 range. It is going, the, you know, when the ARC came out, it wasn't that big of a deal because they weren't competing at that high end, right? They were competing with last generation, you know, cards. But as these lower end NVIDIA cards come out and the AMD card, it's going to be pretty jumbled in that mid-range segment, right? You're going to have three different companies to really choose from with relative performance, I think. So, and again, it definitely shows that Intel's not afraid to drop prices on their cards so they are competitive too. So I think that that's a good thing. Like, they're not like, oh, this is the price. This is always going to be the price. We're not going to drop it. You know, so it's going to be pretty competitive, which I'm definitely excited for. But that was over on Newegg, if you wanted to check it out. Although last time I checked this story, this card was completely sold out again. So
that center fan looks so tiny on it, though. It always cracks me up when I see it. Like, the rear fan is nice and large, but that center one just cracks me up.
So talking about the AMD card, AMD is expected to launch a Radeon RX 7600 XT on May 25th. And again, this is going to fit into that mid-range segment. And you're going to have, again, this month, at least the 4060 Ti from all, you know, from what we know, we already have the ARC cards out, and then you're going to have this card. So, like I said, you're going to have a lot to choose from. These are the supposed dates, you know, that have been rumored here. MSRP reviews will be the 24th. It looks like AMD is kind of doing the same thing. There'll be MSRP models available, you know, day one, and then the next day you'll have like the custom or overclock models available as well. So lots going on in the GPU space in the mid-range, which I think is pretty exciting for a lot of people, especially you 1080p gamers out there. These are going to be the cards that you definitely would be considering if you were looking for a new card.
That's the one thing I am happy about with GPUs right now, is this whole MSRP model.
Yes.
You know, and like with NVIDIA, you've got a Founders Edition and some AIB cards, and then they can have their higher end cards. But I like the idea of these cards need to be available for MSRP, and then you can do whatever else you want with the others.
Yeah, and I think one of the big reasons for that is that when the 30 series came out, it was like only the Founders Edition was at MSRP, right? That was the only one. And then those sold out instantly. And then everything else was like very, very much overpriced. So I think NVIDIA was like, yeah, you need to have an MSRP model. We don't care which model you put it out. Whatever it is, you need an...
Right.
Like, I think in my back of my mind, because you know all the stuff that's come out about NVIDIA over the past couple of years, you know, especially with all the EVGA stuff, I think NVIDIA was like, if you want to work with us on these, on the 40 series, you need to have an MSRP model. Like, that's what you need to do. And I think, again, all the companies were like, okay, you know, because they can't... I mean, technically, they could sell that default model for like 10, even 10, 20, $30 more, because it has a better cooling system. It has,
sure,
you know, a lot of that stuff. So like I said, if AMD is kind of following suit with that too, it's going to be really nice to just, it's the common thing now. This is the MSRP model, you know? So yeah, that'll be definitely be nice. Talking about NVIDIA GPU stuff, a new piece of software came out, which is actually really cool. So this is a GPU management tool that allows you to, or GPU power management tool that allows per app power management. So in the tool itself, you select your EXE for your game, whatever it may be. And then you go ahead and you set like power limits. You can set a bunch of different settings. You can set all this, like power states, like there's a lot of different things that you can set within this. Now, this is not made by NVIDIA. This is a third party. So whenever it comes to altering power states and power, you know, things, you run it at your own risk. But this is really cool because, again, this allows you to say there's some program or game that's just for some reason pulling so much power for no reason. It happens a lot of times. You know, you can kind of limit the power that application or game draws. So it's pretty cool that you can do that by, like I said, by app.
Yeah, that's interesting that it can figure out exactly how much power that individual executable is utilizing.
Yeah, so...
And then adjust for them.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool to have this available. We have the link where you can download it. Like I said, it just, you know, when it comes to these non-official applications, just use it at your own risk because, knock on wood, I haven't bricked a graphics card in a long time. So, you know, but it can happen, so just be careful. Talking about processors now, Intel, it appears that they're going to be changing their product naming, which...
I saw this, and...
And again, it's not, it's unclear if this is just going to be a mobile thing or if they're going to bring this over to the desktop as well. So Core Mobile H series processors, these are for mobile laptops. It looks like they're going to be called, instead of, you know, your Core i9 or your Core i7 or Core i5, it's going to be called Core Ultra. And this is going to be for the new Meteor Lake processors. I don't know if this is just a mobile thing or they're going to bring this naming over to desktop. I think if they don't bring it over to desktop, it's even more confusing.
Right.
But I just don't understand the change.
Well, and they're saying like the top list of those like four cards there says like the Core i9, you know, 1XX00H is moving to the Core Ultra. They say that Ultra is optional, so maybe they're just going to like Core 3, Core 5, Core 7, Core 9, right? And an Ultra would be like a model that can overclock or something.
But like, isn't that the difference between a K and a non-K?
Yeah,
I know.
Well, and like, but like, what's the, why do they need the I there anymore, right? Like,
true. Well, I's for Intel.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. I think Intel's at a very interesting thing too. They've shaken up their top management over the past couple years, and you know, So
I don't know.
Do you think this rolls over to the desktop side?
Yeah. Well, so but they, yeah.
So instead of, like I said, you're going to get a Core Ultra 9.
Yep. Maybe.
Okay.
The thing that sinks is that that Core name is such a like generic, like when you think of the word Core, you're like Core is like basic required level of something, right? You've got the Core level of the application, but you can upgrade to the Premium or the Ultra, right? So they've already, like, I'd rather see them get rid of the Core name and go with something else.
Okay.
Or just like, just call it the Intel i7 and i3, right? Instead of a Core i9, Core i7. Just call it an i7.
Yeah.
We all, because, yeah, I just think
it's very, it's very confusing to the consumer, once again.
Yeah.
But I think if the Ultra is the high-end SKU, then that makes sense, right? So, again, right, there's a Core i7, a Core i5, Core i9, but then the Core Ultra 9 is the top-end SKU, right?
Yeah.
Or the Core, like if this is considered for mobile, the Core Ultra, that's what's going to be in like the gaming laptop. But the Core Ultra or the Core, you know, but the Core i7, that's what's going to be in like your normal business laptop, right?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know, but it's all confusing. It's so confusing. Yeah. It's not normal. Not normal at all. So we'll see how this kind of shakes out with Intel. Just keep on confusing us, you know. That's what it seems like. Yeah. Over to Microsoft, which we haven't heard all that much, but it appears now one of the best things that Apple ever did, and we don't talk a lot about Apple on this podcast, but we did, especially when they announced the M1. We talked about that extensively in the M2, and now they have the M2 Ultra or whatever the big one's called. And that was such a boost in performance for Apple. It allows them to really control everything now. They're not dependent on Intel and all the issues, especially when they made the change. Intel was having a lot of security issues with their processors. They don't have to deal with any of that. And all those processors were ARM processors that Apple had. And it looks like Microsoft is going to be doing the same thing. So Microsoft, of course, their kind of Apple competitor is their Surface devices. And it looks like they're going to be making their own chips, ARM-based chips, for their next generation of Surface devices. I think this just makes sense. I mean, everybody's, yeah, like I said, we saw Apple do it, and it was a smart move. It allows you can fully control everything. And the Surface products are already really, really good, highly optimized as it is. And now that they're going to have really full control over everything, it's just going to make the device better, probably more affordable as well. I think it makes sense. Now, you probably won't see this, like I said, this mentioned Windows 12, which is going to come out next year. So I think that, yeah, like I said, I think it's a smart move. I don't think and it's like another blow to Intel, you know, as more, yeah, and more
company looking to move away from their product.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting, but yeah, that's yeah. Again, if I was Microsoft, I'd be doing the same thing. Especially, and again, it's not like Microsoft is making, you know, has 100 SKUs of their Surface products, right? It's just like, right, Apple. There's a set, you know, maybe 10, 15 SKUs total, and those will have, you know, their own chip in it, which, like I said, makes complete sense to me, I would say. So be very interesting to see how those play out and see how those, you know, compare to like the previous gen Intel based ones, just like we saw with Apple. That'd be kind of cool to see as well. Last week we talked about Asus's ROG Ally. It looks like we have some pricing here. So the highest end SKU, that's the one with the Ryzen Z1 Extreme, that's going to play 1080p games, well over 60 FPS, $699.
I like it.
You like that price?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
All right. Yeah, this was a little leaked thing, and this looks like it's from...
That looks like Best Buy, for sure.
Yeah, it looks like a Best Buy thing here. So yeah, $699, which is not all that expensive based on again, if you think about like
everything you're getting,
this is a 1080p gaming machine in your hand that's based on Windows, I believe.
120 hertz screen, 16 gigs of memory, 512 NVMe drive, Navi 3 graphics. Like, all right.
For $700, I like it. I think this is a good price. This is, you know.
I was expecting more of an Asus tax. You know what I mean?
I think they want to sell us. And it makes you wonder what the, because there is rumors of a lower end SKU too, that just has the Z1, not the Z1 Extreme, and that one is right around 60 FPS at that 1080p. So,
yeah, does that one go to $599 or $550 even,
or $499?
Oh God.
Yeah, you don't know what that price difference would be. So, this is gonna be really big for Asus. This is gonna be really big for Asus, and I think this is gonna be really, really big for mobile gaming as a whole. And maybe that's where we're moving. As much as we're like sit down in front of our PC, like, you know, that's what, just like with like cell phones, and everybody uses a phone. They don't use their laptop anymore. Like, they don't use their computer. They do everything on the phone. Is this where gaming is moving to now that we have powerful enough hardware to have a playable experience in your hand? And you know what I mean? I think Steam Deck was obviously the start. I think this is going to be a big push. I think a lot of people are going to buy this, especially based on that price. I think $699 is a good price for me. I was honestly like in my head when I was like, this thing is going to be $1,200.
Right. I was like, $1,000.
Yeah. So just
with the premium, a lot of times you pay for Asus items, mm-hmm. right? So,
yeah. And, you know, this is a custom made chip that Asus and AMD developed together too, or that AMD had developed, and they're giving Asus the Access, exclusive.
Right.
So like that costs money.
Maybe Gigabyte will come up later. MSI will have one later, right?
Yeah. So, that's, like I said, that's really exciting. I still can't justify it. Can't justify it in my head that's something that I would get, because it would just sit around, I think, for the most part. So our last piece of news for the week is that Cooler Master has come out with a really sleek and cool looking M.2 portable enclosure. And these are really great. So if you guys have like an older NVMe SSD that, you know, you've upgraded your new system, maybe it's a Gen 3, you've upgraded to Gen 4, and it's just sitting there, you know, this can really make use of it. It can turn it into a portable SSD. And even if it's Gen 3, it's definitely fast enough. So this is USB 3.2 Gen 2. So that's 1,000 megabytes a second on this. Super, super fast. And you can see how your SSD just gets installed on here. It's made of aluminum, pretty heavy duty. So if you're looking to repurpose an old SSD, this is the way to do it. I have a couple of these different ones, and I've repurposed old SSDs. It's just super, super simple. And you have a portable SSD now that's super fast. I use these for if I'm shooting video, I offload the video to this and then just edit off this, which means I can take it with me on the go. I don't have to take a larger hard drive or something like that with me. It's super, super simple, and it's only $59.99. So
that's not bad.
Yeah, nice little drive there. If you guys need any fast portable storage, this is definitely the way to go there. So go ahead and check that out. And that wraps up our news, man. We kind of sped through this podcast, man.
Yeah, no, I was super, the same super thing. Fast.
Talking about what we have coming up next week. I didn't get it done this week. And Ryan's review kind of jumped in there too.
Sorry.
No, that was good, because I wasn't completely done with this review. Anyways, so I'll be taking a look at MSI's MAG Z790 Tomahawk Wi-Fi DDR4 motherboard. I'm pretty much finished with it now, but that will be next week. And we will have our, like we always do with our motherboard reviews, we will have a BIOS video on our YouTube page, so you guys can check that out there as well. I'm also taking a look at a gaming chair from Cooler Master. This is their Calibur R3, which is really, really big. You took a look at the Calibur R2.
Yes.
Do you still, are you sitting in that now or using a different chair?
No, different chair. Okay. I still have it. I mean, it's just not in here.
This looks like a pretty big chair. Like the headrest is probably the biggest headrest I've seen.
And, yeah, it's big.
And the lumbar support thingy is really, really big as well. This has been completely refined since the one that Ryan reviewed, the R2. So I'll have to reference his review and see how this one's different. But yeah, I will be taking a look at this as well. So it'll be pretty new chair. I'll have it on the podcast next week. I'll have a new chair and we'll see. I'll tell you if I like it or not. So will have that for you guys next week as well. And then Ryan's working on a keyboard review that will happen in the next coming weeks as well, also from Cooler Master.
Yep.
So as we come to the end here, did you want to look up the games?
I'm pulling them up right now.
That are available? Are we coming up to like this? No, it's not Steam summer yet.
Summer sale?
Steam summer sale is coming.
You're ahead of yourself.
I know. I definitely am ahead of myself on that.
All right. Free games right now is Breath Edge and Poker Club. They're free until tomorrow. And then tomorrow, there's three coming up that are available. Against All Odds, Horizon Chase Turbo, and Cow the Kangaroo.
Oh, interesting. Okay. All right. Well, those are the games that are available on the Epic Game Store. Like I said, did you do any tech-related stuff this week?
No. I was too busy last week with Thursday through Monday was solo dad. My wife was out of town, so I didn't really have time to get much done outside of just making sure kids were taken care of. So
gotcha. I don't think I did anything either. I'm trying to think. I use my cameras a lot more, so I was shooting a lot of stuff. Nice. Which is kind of cool. I learned to this camera that I use for my webcam, I looked up how to do an actual time lapse with it, which is pretty cool. And how to import all of, well, you take photos on it has a built-in shutter timer. So I can take like 500 photos, and then I learned to import all those photos into my video editing app, and it turns it into a time lapse.
Cool.
Which was pretty cool. So did that.
So it doesn't do it on camera. You have to.
No. So it just takes photos. So my big Sony, which is right there, that actually, so that camera has apps that you can install on it. And one of those is a time lapse app, and it essentially does the same thing, but it does it all in camera. So it's taking pictures and then it puts it all together for you. This is not as expensive as a camera
That's interesting to me, because I have like my old like Nikon just point and shoot, and it does time lapses, and like I'm pretty sure like our GoPros or the DJI Osmo will do it. Why can't that Sony do it?
I don't know. Just not part of. There might be. No, I don't think. I'm pretty sure that's the only way to do it. I think because I'll bring it up. Because I have the Sony ZV-1.
This is the ZV-1, right?
Yeah, for you guys to get an idea of what we're talking about. Actually, I'll do it in this. Sony ZV-1. Why isn't Sony's actual page coming up? Here we go. So this is the camera that I'm talking about. I think with these point and shoots, they only have like a certain amount of like RAM, right, to like do certain things. So like, I don't think there's just enough.
Because the use case for it is like you're just writing to the card in it. There's really no. Yeah, it's not a camera you're going to buy for those extra features. Like this is a, like they say, for content creators and vloggers, which 99% of the time is just write to the card in here and that's it.
Yeah, like I don't know why that, like, so the way with this other Sony cameras is like there's like an app store that you can download apps and you can do different things. And even again, like that camera is like 5 years old now. I don't know why that it's not in this. It would be nice because I would like to just have it spit out the video instead of doing that. And like you said, all of the action cameras that we have, they have time lapse as well. Who knows? But yeah, I learned to do that. That's pretty much it. I've just been working on reviews, getting a lot of stuff done. We have some cool reviews coming up, so guys, definitely stay tuned for that. As a reminder, get your entry into the contest, and we should have another contest after that. I haven't finalized all the details, but we will have that as well. And we're going to be moving over. Well, if you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, we're going to be moving over to Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. You can go ahead and check that out. If you're watching on Twitch, the stream will just go off now, and then Ryan will put the stream back up because he hosts the Twitch stream. So he'll have that up for you there. But that is it for this week, guys. So thanks everybody for coming out. And of course, everybody who listens later. And we will see everybody next week.